Either way, it doesn't matter because Alex is full of shit. On April 16th, 2013, letters laced with ricin were sent to President Obama, Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker, and a judge in Mississippi.
Yeah.
The letters had been sent from an address in Tennessee, and because there was just a giant bombing in Boston, a lot of people made a hasty assumption that the attempts to poison these officials were connected.
Were connected, yeah, of
but
course.
Guess what? They were not. And this is one of the craziest stories that I will ever tell you, Jordan.
You know, America's a big place, and a lot of people got a lot of axes to grind, so we don't need to always connect to...
I don't know if you know the story behind this.
No, I don't.
Oh, you were going to enjoy the shit out of this.
It just sounds...
The way you were nodding really worried me that you knew all of this already.
No.
This story is nuts.
The only thing that I was thinking is, like, obviously this isn't connected to that, because we have a Missouri representative...
Mississippi.
Mississippi representative and judge. That's personal shit. Because I've never heard of that Mississippi representative, and neither has anybody else.
And it ain't Saxby Chambliss.
No, it is not.
So on the 17th, police arrested Paul Curtis for the crime.
He's a firsty. Can't trust him.
Uh-huh. And investigators immediately were sent down a completely insane rabbit hole. There's a fantastic investigative piece about this in GQ written by Wells Tower, which I highly recommend. And a lot of this information comes from other sources, other news articles about this, and a lot of it also from this GQ piece.
Right.
I recommend everyone read it, because even as I'm telling you this story, it cannot do justice to all the layers of complete insanity.
Right. See, now you got the guy who's arrested, two first names. You got the guy who's writing the investigative piece, two street names. We know who we can trust here, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
This makes perfect sense.
The basic story is this. The police arrest Curtis for the crime, but in the course of interrogation, realize they have got the wrong dude, that he does not know anything about the crime that's being described. So they ask him if he has any enemies who might want to try and set him up. And he immediately responds that there is one guy, James Everett Dutchke, who fits that description.
Okay.
Curtis had been a janitor by profession and an Elvis impersonator by passion. Him and his brother did a duo act where one of them was like younger Elvis and the other was Vegas Elvis.
Oh, man.
And so they performed together as dueling Elvis impersonators.
And that's how he made his worst enemy.
No, not really. That's just a little bit of trivia about him. The media really latched on to that when Curtis was arrested.
It's such
Elvis
a personal
impersonator
detail.
Arrested for sending
left. Yeah, of course.
You know, yeah. And that kind of overshadowed a lot of the story.
Right. He could have been a rocket scientist, but if he was a clown on the weekend, they'd be like, clown murders man!
Right. So in his day job as a janitor, he'd landed a contract to clean the floors at the Northern Mississippi Medical Center. And through some weird coincidence, he ended up in the morgue one day and saw body parts that really freaked him out. He wasn't authorized to be in the morgue, so he was reprimanded for being there, which he thought was meant to be punishment for him seeing body parts he wasn't supposed to see. Curtis smelled a conspiracy and decided that he'd stumbled into a black market organ harvesting operation.
That's the first thing I would think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he started pursuing this conspiracy theory, and naturally this led to his life falling apart. He began to drink heavily, his marriage fell apart, and he got less gigs as Elvis. And all of this...
the true tragedy here.
Right. And all of this, of course, only led to him pursuing his conspiracy interests further.
Right.
He started disseminating messages about his theories online, like on MySpace at the time, and he ended them with his tagline, quote, I am KC and I approve this message. James Everett Dutchke was a local insurance salesman who was also in a local band called Robodrum, which describes itself as, quote, progressive guitar funktronica for smart people.
Everyone in this story is played by Robin Williams.
Everything is insane.
Everything in this story is Robin Williams.
More importantly, he ran an alternative newspaper in the same town.
Of course he did.
So when Curtis heard about this newspaper, he was sure that this was how he was going to be able to get his message out about the organ harvesting thing that he'd stumbled into. So Curtis accosted Dutchke at a party, because Dutchke worked with Curtis's ex-wife in an insurance company. So at a company party, he came along and confronted Dutchke because Dutchke hadn't responded to his email.
Sure.
So he confronts him at this party and asks him to run a story about this big scoop. However, Dutchke was not interested, since he was in the middle of trying to run for public office, and he felt a story like this would hurt his efforts to get elected, which he ends up not getting elected anyway. Should just run the story. Could have solved a lot of problems.
No, I think it worked out the right way, Dan.
So, Curtis decided that this dude was a shill and a fraud.
Right.
Their relationship had started off very sour.
Yeah.
Dutchke lost his bid for office, And then the two men embarked on a completely insane online feud where they both accused each other of stalking them. And they're both probably right.
Yeah.
They're both stalking each other and completely obsessed.
And it's starting to sound like a spy versus spy cartoon where it's like both guys are bumbling throughout this entire circumstance.
And like the thing that's really awesome is if you read this GQ article, they talk to like Curtis's ex-wife and she's saying like, you guys have so much in common. You guys should be friends. Why are you hating each other?
Because the one person that everyone hates the most is themselves.
This town is too small for two identical people who want to be performers but are also crazy. And yeah, it's nuts. So, then, in January 2013, Dutchke was sentenced to 90 days for indecent exposure. He would stand... What he would do is he would stand naked at his window and use a laser pointer to attract the attention of passing school kids.
That's a crime. That's
big
way
time.
Worse than...
Big time.
Way worse than 90 days. Way worse than 90 days for that crime.
I would agree. In the process of him trying to appeal this conviction, he was accused of touching three underage girls at the martial arts studio that he ran. Naturally, after this, Curtis started gloating about his rival being arrested online, which really pissed off Dutchke.
Well, naturally.
So anyway, long story shortish, Dutchke decided to frame Curtis by sending letters with ricin in them to the Mississippi Senator, Obama, and this judge, who specifically had sentenced to Curtis to 6 months in jail prior, a ways in the past.
All right. So far, we've all been doing well, and then this plan comes a little bit out of left field. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have expected it somewhere.
It escalated pretty hard.
But I wouldn't have gone there first, you know? Maybe fight. You know, maybe punch him one time. Don't frame him for fucking trying to murder the president.
Well, there are some people who suspect that what he was doing was he realized that he was probably going to prison for touching these underage girls.
Yeah.
And that he could get a heavier sentence in a different facility if he got caught trying to do this clunky frame-up job.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually an effort to not be put in prison primarily as a pedophile. There are some people who think that, but I think that's a little bit too.
That's
too mastermindish.
So you're giving this guy.
I'm not
the guy. No, I'm saying with this theory, you're giving the guy who is in an online feud with an Elvis impersonator who thinks that there's an underground black market organ selling business. You're giving that guy the credit for masterminding his move into a different prison, like he's fucking a.
Kaiser Soze?
Yeah, something along those lines.
I don't find much credence to that. But then again, like all of it is explained by just these guys being idiots. But one of the reasons that people suspect that he was trying to get caught is that he'd included Curtis's tagline, quote, "I am KC and I approve this message," on the letters that he sent.
Of course.
It was an incredibly clunky frame-up job.
And what, was it like on stationery?
Yeah. If you exclude Curtis as having done this, he's the only person.
The only person.
Who you would look at.
The only possible person.
So it's clunky, but also if you're just kind of dumb, which he seems like he might be.
Yeah.
It is the sort of thing that's like, well, this'll work.
Yeah.
You could see very easily someone thinking
that. Oh, yeah. See, look, I signed it with his sign off. Of course they're going to assume it's him.
Right.
Duh.
Anyway, in May 2014, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison for this. And, he has been very clear, he's guilty.
Yeah.
This had nothing to do with the Boston bombing, but if you don't look at information or your journalistic practice is just to parrot off sensationalist bullshit because you feel like something is the case, you'll end up saying shit like Alex does. Like, I predicted there would be a bio attack around this. It's not related. There's a completely insane story behind this.
Yeah.
And the world is very big. And when you don't have full information, you go off half-cocked, you miss the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
This is the forest.
If he had correctly predicted that an Elvis impersonator and an insurance agent would get into a fight that would lead to sending ricin to the president, then I'm going to believe everything he says forever.
And it's really tough to imagine that, like, you could argue that this was a false flag and they just pinned it on these dudes because they have years-long feud.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it would need to be the most elaborate setup.
We've been planning this. We've got this in the bank for 20 years.
We pushed Curtis
finally,
into the morgue.
Finally.
Subtly made him think that he was stumbling onto this himself.
Right.
It's insane.